Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Tune In Game In Podcast. This is episode 56. I'm on your course, Nick, Retro Nick, and joining me, as always, Gaz, Lost Ruin, and Warren.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, it's good to have you both back. So, anything interesting before we get started? Or
I've got a Mega Drive emulator on my PSP, which is cool. So I'm downloading loads of ROMs to it this afternoon, which is cool.
Yeah, cool. So you'll be talking about some of the games you played on that in a bit?
Yeah, of
course. Okay. Well, I guess we'll get to the first topic then. So I'm guessing many people have heard about Capcom are in a bit of trouble at the minute, in financially.
Me as a gamer, I don't look at them being in trouble just yet. So, I mean, I guess I look at the positive part of it. You know, I was actually trying to watch a friend who actually did a video that everyone's watching, saying how they got into this hole, because Capcom is my all-time favorite company. Granted, I haven't bought one of the games since, I guess, last year, which is basically, Street Fighter, because I'm a big Street Fighter fan. But we're getting into the, why are they down this low, and why are they kind of announcing this all of a sudden when, the Mighty No. 9 has, finally, it's been funded and basically a success. But looking at them being a big company, that is kind of a, I'm not too worried. When I see certain people start leaving, then that's when I'll kind of get worried. But by that time, it'll probably be too late to worry. But that is a concern.
Yeah, but what was your reaction? Were you surprised, or did you feel that this sort of thing was eventually going to happen deep down?
Being a fan of Capcom, I don't remember what the first game I played from them. I don't know if it was Legendary Wings or was it Mega Man, or I know it was Street Fighter wasn't first because Street Fighter didn't come out to like 1990s. But when I first heard about it, it didn't slap me in the face or anything, because I don't know how much money they made really. I would think they would at least have $500 million plus in the bank. But looking at the last few sales of games and the hard work I know they put in them, like, Resident Evil, Raccoon City, which I didn't even look at the sales on that yet. I didn't buy it. I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. I'm a Resident Evil 1. I'm into the horror survivor type person. I would love to be able to, conserve my ammo if I need to use it. I would love to have a shotgun. I mean, I'm going a little deeper than I should, but this is how deep Capcom is with me, and I believe that if they change some of what they're doing to, how can I say this, attract new gamers, if they would stick with some of their old recipes that work. Most fans of their games, like myself, we love 2D. We don't really care for 3D. Is 3D bad? No, it's not bad. It's just that when you play a Mega Man game from old Nintendo, even when you're finished playing it and you go eat, you're thinking about it, and you might even start humming a tune or something. But looking at how their sales have been for the last, 2 years, this isn't surprising to me. I'm not saying, they're going to be losing money. I didn't say that. My thing with the thing there, I mean, that's still a little bit of money. And if they were to just go ahead and say, hey, we're going to release a new Mega Man and do it old school, I mean, granted, TG is not there. I would think they would have enough skill and talent to know how to make a Mega Man game that appeals to the current fan base. Their fan base is there. It's just that they've been making a few bad decisions when it comes to the current fan base. And I mean, when I say current, I'm kind of talking about the people from the beginning to about, I want to say maybe 2005 or so, around the GameCube era, when they finally start getting more people coming aboard with, basically with Mega Man, and the Breath of Fire people are sitting there waiting for another Breath of Fire. I mean, this all could be remedied very easily. So I'm not worried, but if they don't make the changes and then I see like two or three developers leave, then yeah, I would be kind of worried because that means they're not changing. And I don't know if you guys follow Keiji Inafune at all, but I don't really follow him, but when he left, that was really big, bad, and sad news. Linked to his Japanese site and translated what he said. And if you read one of his interviews when he left, and being a designer, I kind of understand some of the things that he was saying, but remember, it's a business. And he wasn't a partner, so if they said, okay, we don't like that, cut it. All the work and heart you put into your little project just gets thrown in the garbage. That's it. And when he said that about that company, and looking at all these new games, I don't want to sound negative, but the majority of the games that are coming out now, you know, they're just put out mainly for profit. And I'll just use one game really quick, Fast and Furious. Look at that game when it came out for the movie. The game is crud. It follows nothing to do with the movie or anything. I mean, I didn't believe this. I saw someone review it, and everything they said was so 100% true. But with Capcom, they could change this around easily, you know, and make the money. But like Keiji said, if they don't put heart and passion in it, you can tell that there's no heart and passion in it. And rehashing games is not the future. You need to take risks. And if you look at it, no one has launched a new IP in quite some time now. But that's my take on Capcom and their bankroll news.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time Capcom actually released an actual new franchise or anything. I think in the last generation, the seventh generation, on the Wii and on PS3 and 360.
Lost Planet, didn't they? That was a kind of a new... That Lost Planet to an old trilogy from Capcom. Dead Rising from the last generation. Resident Evil has taken a nosedive since Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 6, Operation Raccoon City, Revelations. I haven't played Revelations yet, but I'm here. I don't know. It's like Final Fantasy after Final Fantasy X. This hasn't been a good one since. I mean, I kind of get that feeling with Resident Evil after Resident Evil 4. It hasn't been a good one since.
All right. Well, Resident Evil 4 is like the best Resident Evil. I will say I do love Resident Evil 5, but because it's so easy. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but that's the reason why I like it. You know, even on the hardest setting, you know, it's still so easy. But Resident Evil 1 is still going to be my fave.
It's playable. Resident Evil 5. I haven't played Resident Evil 6 yet. I've still got it. It's sat on my shelf. They're okay games. They're playable, but... I don't know.
I think they're focusing too much on the DLC aspect, because going back to a previous game, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, that was released, and I think it had, like, what I can remember, mixed reviews, and then they released Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 with unlocked characters, and basically characters that were on the original disc, but they decided to make a full-fledged DLC pack add-on with the same game, just re-releasing it.
Okay, let me take off my leash on that. That is what really ticked me off. I'm not a Marvel vs. Capcom player person. Don't get me wrong, I do own it on Dreamcast, and I also, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I do own that on Dreamcast. I was introduced to it by my cousin, you know, after college. We both met up finally after 4 years, after I got him hooked on God of War on PS2. He introduced me to Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I fell in love with it. I'm not great, but I can play the game. So when they announced it on Xbox and PS3, I bought it. Now, the one thing about it is that when they port games over, now lately, they'll tell you it's perfect, but all the true players, they can tell you what's wrong with it. Me, I'll just say, hey, there's something wrong with the game. I can't tell you what's going on, but something's wrong with the game. When they bought out Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I said, hey, it's a whole new game, whole new ball game. You know, everyone's going to be on the same level. How wrong was I? 1,000% wrong. Okay, I'm getting into the game. I'm getting beat. And let me start over on that one. Marvel's Capcom 3 had the worst setup of any game, fighting game I've ever played. No spectating in the lobbies. Hard to connect. Then when you're playing it, three months after it was released, Ultimate comes out after you just spent $59 on this game and it's not compatible? Oh, no. That was awful. Whoever thought of that were they thinking? And this is where I get in arguments sometimes with some of the pro players about Dead or Alive 4, which came out in, 2006, 2007? Way at the beginning, Itagagi had a lobby up to 16 players, if I'm not mistaken. Granted, it does lag, so you want to have only 8 players. And this is before Party Chat was introduced to Xbox Live. So I'm basing the past on what we should be having now, and Capcom just totally forgot. Street Fighter is a social game. You come in, you talk. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people who don't like to talk. There are quite a few people who don't like to talk while you're playing, so I can understand that. But they didn't even offer a lobby or anything. And this is where I met a whole bunch of people, and this is where the axe fell on a lot of people, where it's like, oh, forget it. And that's not including Street Fighter 4, because keep in mind, I'm on Street Fighter 4, and I'm migrating over to the Marvel vs. Capcom universe. Well, my migration stopped. They messed up a lot of people when they did exactly what you said when they released Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then just a few weeks, a month and a half, 2 months later down the road, Ultimate. And that's where the decline, I could see where the game started declining and less people talking. And I'm used to hearing people saying, oh yeah, man, that game was awesome. What game was that? Oh, it was this. Oh, I gotta check it out. All right, you know. But now it's kind of like, get it if you want it, you know, get it if you want it. And to me, that's not good. And Capcom has kind of stopped listening at the fans. I'm gonna say that.
This seems to be the case, Gabe, because quickly mentioned the cancelled Mega Man Legends 3 game for the 3DS. Loads of fans were participating in that, looking forward to it, and there was even a site where you can submit suggestions and fan art for the game, but they cancelled it completely and weren't willing to even consult with the fans and try and get this game working, because obviously the fans were there, but for some weird reason, Capcom decided to just ignore them and just cancel the project altogether.
Like I said before, I'm not really a Mega Man fan. I'm not a Mega Man fan. Yes, I do own 3 Mega Man games. Yes, I do help friends pass levels on Mega Man because it's platforming. It's in my blood. So basically, he is a part of me, but I always like to say I'm not a fan, because if I say I'm a fan, then they start going to Neo X and stuff, and I don't know what you're talking about because I didn't play any Neo X series. But when they canceled that game, people who, like my friend Richie, he bought the 3DS only for that game. When he learned that game got canceled, the look on his face was just like, it's like you telling Daddy's not coming home ever again. And I mean, it was awful. And I didn't really care until I saw how, you know, I'm like, oh, whatever, they canceled the game, whatever. And that's how I took it, because, you know, hey, it's just another game they canceled. I'm used to it. I mean, I was upset when I found out EA canceled Road Rash, but I wasn't really sad or anything. But I was, you know, a little. I wish my friend would have kept that tip to himself, but I know so. But getting back to the point, when they canceled that, there was a giant uproar, and that's why that Facebook group, 1,001 or 1 million or 100,000.
100,000, yeah.
Yeah, that group got started, and, you know, I just saw it. I said, click like, you know, it's not gonna go anywhere, whatever. But as you can see, it grew. And when Kiji finally saw how it was going, he said, you know what? I'm doing a very bad disservice to my fans. He's the one who came up with Rockman. Yes, he was under Capcom when he did that. So they did pay him to do that. But he's the one that came. I mean, I don't want to go into the back business of it. This is where I always get confused. I don't want to do that. But like you're saying, when they canceled that game, they set in motion basically what we're talking about now. And the fans are getting tired. And with sites like Kickstarter allowing the fans to basically pay for what they want now, there's going to be a lot of trouble for a lot of the next gen consoles when the clients and customers and the fans start saying, hey, I'm not buying that. He's over there now. Let's go over here. And they're going to flock. And that's how some groups work. You know, Street Fighter hasn't done it because we don't really, the creative Street Fighter is long gone, so, you know, that's Capcom, so Capcom has that. But a platformer like Mega Man, Kenji, hey, he's one of the kings, and Capcom just needs to listen to their fans, and not just listen. The other thing, too, is a slap in the face. He said, they said, oh, the reason why Mega Man Legends was canceled because of the fans. That's what they said. They blame that on the fans. And I'm like, the fans are, like, right there. I see over 50,000 fans. I don't, you know, I don't know if that counts to you for a number, but you could play that. Something, but they didn't. So, you know, I can't really say, I can't say they don't deserve it, but is it deserve it?
It's just that those are bad decisions. I mean, they seem to be making continuously and don't seem to be learning from them. Like, there was, going back to Resident Evil, that Resident Evil Mercenaries on the 3DS, I mean, they did a feature to stop people buying pre-owned copies by not allowing you to delete your old file at all.
Oh, yeah.
So if you sold it, you'd have the same file, but you'd never be able to play from the beginning of the game, which still to this day doesn't make sense to me practically in any way.
Nope, it does not. I forgot all about that, but yeah, I love Capcom, and everyone knows Capcom forever. I'm not gonna ever down them or anything like that, but they really need to. They really just need to listen to the fans. They really need to listen to the fans. I mean, they listen to those guys at Evo. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that character's broken. Fix it. Okay, update. The character wasn't broken. At least not to me, he wasn't, you know. But now you have Guile who's waiting. See, I'm going to Street Fighter now. But they need to listen to everyone, not just a group set of people. But let your wallet speak.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I've missed something. How big a trouble are they in?
Well, according to this one site I've gone on, it says, and I quote, Capcom has only $152 million in the bank.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. Well, to us, that's a lot of money, but to them, obviously, a big company, it must be, like, not change to them.
Exactly. That's not a lot of money for a company. Not for what they've done in their track record. That's not a lot of money. That's a company. Keep in mind, you have the lights and keep up of the building, so and the equipment.
But, and the lawyers and.
Yeah, exactly. All that overhead of running a company. So. Yeah, but it doesn't. Like I said, me being a loyalist to Capcom, I'm not afraid yet. I'm not worried yet. I mean, I probably should be, but I really think that Capcom, with all this stuff circulating, I think that they're going to pull something out that's going to make everyone go, you know, eventually. They're going to have to do that. If they don't, then yeah, I'm not even going to say those words, so I just look toward the future, and I hope for the best. They're one of my beloved companies, so.
Somebody will buy them, won't they? And somebody will buy the rights.
Don't say that, please.
Street Fighters, yeah. It comes down to that.
Yeah, if you can't get the money back, I mean, not saying they won't get out of this, but if it's
one thing they need to start doing, then, isn't it? Making good games.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Good games. Like they used to. Exactly. I'm saying their old recipes. They lost me on after Resident Evil 5, they lost me. The Raccoon City, my friend who's never played Resident Evil, fell in love with the game. Oh, Warren, you got to get this game. And I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about zombies and survival horror, but me, I'm the kind of person where when you play Resident Evil 1, well, I played Resident Evil 1, and that was my first, well, besides Alone in the Dark, okay? Resident Evil 1 was awesome. When that Cerberus jumps through the window, I threw my controller on the ground, and I kid you not, I think I jumped vertically at least 3 feet in the air when that thing jumped through the window. I had never experienced anything like that. the giant spiders on the roof falling down, and my sister standing behind me, and she saw them and started screaming. Granted, that wasn't part of the game. That made the game even more, hey, my sister doesn't like the giant spiders, you know, and then fighting that giant snake. Who would ever thought about fighting a giant snake? And then going downstairs, and there's a shark in the water in a mansion, you know, and it's just that that game was great. Now, I'm not going to compare that to Part 4, because Part 4 was excellent. That was that game gave me the same exact feeling in the first 20 minutes of the game when you go to that cabin. I never finished it because the game was so long. But that game right there, to me, is the almost the epitome of survival horror. Now, moving to Raccoon City, it looks like Black Ops or Call of Duty or any other first-person shooter game besides Resident Evil. And I don't even know what to say because the game to me was not appealing to me, and I just call it crap. My friend got mad at me for calling it up, and I was like, no, hey, if you like it, go play it. I didn't even download the demo. Actually, I'm sorry. I did download a demo to a one version of the game. I don't even know what it was. All I know is in this version, you play two players online, and there's a new character, and we have to get in this car in this alleyway, and I don't know if it was that game. It was on PS3, so it wasn't on Xbox. But these games that they're making now appeal to the fad that's going on, and the hardcore gamers, I mean, I don't want to call myself a hardcore gamer on that, but that game does not appeal to me. I don't want to just be in there with a machine gun going, brr, brr, brr. I want to think, okay, in the next room, there's a bookcase and a hole in the wall. I walked in the first time, and a boulder came through that hole. What do I do to stop the boulder? Okay, look around. Oh, there's a switch. Pull it. All right. There's a book. Read it. It says da-da-da-da-da. Oh, okay. Push this switch. Boom. Bookcase closes. Now I walk through the next room. That's the kind of stuff. The puzzles. Those are what pull me and quite a few other people into the game. Just running around just shooting aimlessly. Why don't you just drop a nuke on the area and then come back in, and or not a nuke, but what's that thing called? Incendiary bomb and blow everybody, you know, burn them to pieces and then come in. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking. Me, if I was going to say something to Capcom right now, and people always say, Warren, that sounds crazy, but I met one guy on PS3 who actually took my idea and took it to the next level where we wanted to go back to Part 1, upgrade those graphics, make it 4 players online, but not like Resident Evil 5. Have it where we can split up, and we go back to Resident Evil 1 and go find the lost scientists and so forth, and find the other notes that we never had. Find out how those birds killed, what's that one guy? The one guy, oh, wait, did y'all play Resident Evil 1? I'm sorry if y'all didn't. Okay, well, that one guy got killed by the crows up top. Anybody who's played Part 1 knows that hallway. You walk through that hallway, you tiptoe because you don't want those birds to attack you. But see, it's those small little things that make that game stand out over all the other games. You had to think. You didn't just, okay, wait a minute, there's a big crowd of zombies, oh, shoot over here, let's go here. No. You have to think. And the game, like you said, they need to make better games. Just need to make better games. Stop rushing out with a gun. Give me my knife. Let me use that. Give me a rocket launcher if I beat the game under 3 hours like you always have. Give me my little prize. If you want to put DLC in there, put some weapons, costumes, maybe even another full character. I've always wanted to play with Wes. Play with, Barry. I always wanted to play with Barry. But until they, you know, look at what fans want, you know, I mean, even if they did a game, they could have did a side chapter to Wesker and find, you know, start from the beginning of the game. Why did he sell out? Oops, I'm sorry. I wish you can beat that out. But, you know, follow Wesker's story. I'm sorry. Follow Wesker's story. But that's what I'm trying to say. The people who are passionate about it, and we also have the Japanese version, which is Bioshock, and then we have the American, which is Resident Evil. Some of us crossed the borders. I have not crossed the border yet because I haven't found me a copy yet. But it's much harder, and I'd rather stick with what I know than to buy some of the new stuff they're offering. And that's how some of the other gamers are. I shouldn't say other gamers, but listening at what some of them say, they're doing exactly the same thing, and that's on their free will. It's not, hey, you want to try this game out? Like, no, I already know about that. I'm getting this. You know, people are waiting for another Dino Crisis. I own that game. I like that game. I did not love it because of controls and stuff. But it would be nice if they did it because there are fans out there who want it. But a lot of people don't even know it exists. You know? So. But yeah, that's something I would say to Matt.
Yeah, I think what Capcom needs to do is go back, not all the way back into the olden days, because obviously in today's market it's not realistic sticking directly with gamers, but they need to respect the opinions of the fans and just create a good game and diff his problems and just wait a little bit. That's all they need to do, and just fix any bugs or errors.
Yeah, it's not about getting old games and rehashing them, it's the play mechanics. That's what
because they've made remakes of games. They made Bionic Commando. That was a remake, and that was rubbish.
Yes, it was awful. How could they not see that? I mean, I played it, and the people were like, this game looks fun. The demo's good. The full game comes out, it's crap. Don't buy it.
Yeah, don't buy it.
I was like, what? Like, yeah, don't. I'm like, really? It's that bad? Like, yes. And even the kid who played it and beat it, he did a review. I watched his review of it. And he was trying to be nice, and I can hear the pain in his voice. He didn't want to say what he was saying, but it was like, there is no excuse. It's like they made the game, and they made it work, but they didn't check the fun factor. And the controls were kind of off, too, a little bit. And I was kind of sad, actually. I ignored it, but I was sad when I saw that. It was awful because that's a Capcom game. It's like Nintendo, like they used to back in the day. The Nintendo seal of quality. When you heard Capcom, quality. That's all it was. Now it's like, you get it first and you tell me if it's any good. And that's not really good now, you know?
Yeah, because they weren't even responsible for the remake of DuckTales, were they?
No, WayForward. Yeah, they did a good job on that though. I think WayForward did that. WayForward or I haven't bought it yet, so.
No, well, there's one remake I'm not gonna buy, and that's the new Flashback. That's just been totally panned.
Oh yeah, I'm not. Nah. If it's on iOS and it's for 99 cents and it's less than, okay, for me to get it, it has to be under 50 megabytes. I download the Chipotle, we'll talk about this later, Chipotle app, and it's like 300 megabytes, and they did a nice job on it, but it's not worth 300 megabytes of space on my iOS device. So, but the Flashback, I played enough. I have it on Sega CD, and I have the other, was it, not Out of This World, but some other one, Alien something. I have that. I haven't played it yet. But no, I'm slowing down on buying these remakes that I already own. If I have it on disc, I'm not gonna rebuy it. Nah.
Yeah. So I think the main thing Capcom needs to do is stop trying to punish the consumers and the fans and just create a good game. That's all they need to do. If they do that, they'll get themselves out of trouble. But if they keep going down the path they are, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they just need to pay attention to the fans. The fans say, hey, we want this. I mean, when Twitter and YouTube and Facebook were all finally aligned, I thought, this is my thoughts, I thought we'd never ever have a bad, sucky, crappy game ever. Why? Because now the fans have a direct line to the producers and the creators of the games. So, like, if they were making a game that Gaz really loved, and they released the artwork of one character that he really likes, and they know he notices, hey, on so-and-so's pinky finger, she doesn't have the incantation for blah, 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 blah. How can she cast this spell if she doesn't have it? Small details like that is what make cosplayers want to be a certain character also. So you have to keep that also in mind. Now we have this whole new genre of what connects to the game to actually push the game and get more sales. But, you know, how they're using Twitter and so forth, they're not using it effectively. I mean, they created before Capcom Unity, there was a game, a website called Street Fighter Devotion or something like that that I joined, and then Capcom Unity came out like maybe like 8-9 months after that. But they create these communities. I look at the community boards and stuff, and I don't see much of talking there. Oh. But nothing to say, oh, wow, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can speak to developers now, you can contact them, but rather than take notice, there's another matter. You have direct communication to people on Twitter and on Facebook and things like that, but they don't take anything on board, do they?
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to get at. They're not, you know, if a fan, if one fan stresses it, acknowledge, we hear you, we'll take that down. We might not use it, but hey, consideration, you know? And it is just, you know.
Wait, sage.
Yeah. So, but they can turn this around. See, that's why, I mean, I know I sound with Warren, they only have $152 million, but I really think if they, I mean, I can't talk about Lost Planet because, see, I don't know that fan base. I have a friend who used to play that game all the time. He learned quite a few Japanese phrases because he had no American friends playing that game except for me. And the way we worked, you know, I worked in the daytime, and he slept all day, and he go to work at 11 p.m. my time. So we only had time to play from, like, maybe 9 o'clock a little bit before he had to leave. And, you know, I don't know how the Americans play Lost Planet, but the Japanese culture, they love that game. And Lost Planet Part 1, Lost Colonies, that's the version to get because they have a multiplayer version on there where you can now be humans versus the monsters. Awesome. But some of the older stuff, the Resident Evil thing, they really, before they started working on another one, granted, Revelations was a great game. I'm not sure how it sold. On DS, it was awesome. I played the demo on 3DS, and it scared the living lights out of me, and I want to actually get the PS3 version of it if I can. Or Xbox. I don't think it should really matter which version I got. But getting to my point is that before they try to release another one, they really need to talk to the fans about what they want to see in the next game. Because now there's no excuse for them not to be able to ask us, hey, what do you want to see in the next game? Someone's going to say, I want to see a survival mode with just a knife. If you said that to me, I'm ready to jump on board already. Because that's something I want. I don't want to say I hate first-person shooters that much. I want to start just using a knife or anything. I'm not trying to say that. It's just that when I play the game, I want to be a challenge. I can make the game challenging myself by, hey, like in Resident Evil 1, me and my little brother had a challenge. How far can you get in the game without using heal or saving? That makes the game, takes the game to a whole different level. Something you don't have to do, but it's fun, you know. But I can't say that about Lost Planet. But some people are yelling out Onimusha. I don't even really want to say much about Devil May Cry because that game was not for me. But my other friend who actually played the series on PS2, he actually liked Devil May Cry 4. And, you know, out of five people, he was the one person that liked and finished that game. We didn't like it. But, you know, hey, we say, hey, well, we're glad you enjoyed it. We didn't like that game. We don't know why. We just didn't like it, you know. But maybe they should bring out a new Onimusha. I can't say that. I don't know how that fan base will work here now. But I remember when it first was released, doesn't it have like three in the series, don't they? Three different games, Onimusha 1, 2, and 3?
No idea. I never played it.
Yeah, I never played it either. I read upon it, but never played it. But it looks great, but I mean, I really think if they really sat down, they could make a really good profit if they sat down and really thought out and stopped thinking about, oh, let's just DLC this, DLC that. DLC is not the way. DLC is to enhance the game. So
exactly. That's what it should be. And don't just hide the characters at the beginning of the game, or don't take away the delete feature so you can reset, sell it on.
Just
give us a good game we can play in, and when we finish with it, we can trade it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, okay, take this for example. If they really want, I mean, this is what I say. If the games are in 3D, even 2D games, let's take Street Fighter 4. That's a game I love, and I love and hate the game. Okay. I bought Resident Evil 5. Now, let's see. Street Fighter is in 3D. Resident Evil 5 is in 3D. Why can't I have certain locations from Resident Evil 5 DLC, I can either pay for it, or as a Christmas gift, they can have it where, okay, Warren owns or Warren has played Resident Evil 5. It shows the little cookie on my hard drive, and it downloads a little file. So when I get to choose a level, it shows, hey, you're a loyal fan. You bought our game, or you rented it, or, you know, you had the retail version of it. and here's your extra levels. Now you get to play in Wesker's office, or you get to play on top of the building where you fought Tyrant, or you get to fight on the side of a cliff. I was like, wow, Warren, you have that? Where'd that come from? Oh, Resident Evil 5. Oh, you get that? Like, yeah. Oh, I gotta go get that game. I'm gonna go buy it today. Look at that. You just got a new sale. Granted, it may not be brand new, but hey, you're playing your game to get that, you know, and that's how it should be. And then later, after the game has been out, you know, Street Fighter's been out for like over, I'll say, let's say 8 months. I think that's fair. 8 months. Then the stuff that I have that I got for free, put it in the shop for a nice average price as DLC for other people. I don't see what's wrong with that. They can do that.
Yeah, they should look into doing a reward system of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm big on loyalty. You treat me well, I'll treat you so much better. I'll get my friends to come with me. But when you treat me bad, I'm not going to badmouth you. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. If you cuss me out, don't go see him because he's a grump. Good luck. You know, but if you treat me well, and most of my video game companies, most of my mom and pop shops and the professional people, when I walk in, they know who I am. Hey, that's Warren. He talks a lot, but he gets a lot of sales for us. Man, he doesn't even work here. But that's what I do. It's just I love games, and I don't push games that I don't, even if I don't like it, and I know you might like it, I'll say, hey, I don't like this game. But the way you're talking, it sounds like you might want to check this game out. So if I was you, just look into it. And most people say, yeah, Warren, the game was awesome. You know, but that's only after I learn what they like. And that's what Capcom needs to learn to. I don't know why they should learn it, because they already know it. They did it on old Nintendo. They did it on Super Nintendo. Okay, you guys got to correct me on this. What did they release on GameCube?
Let me have a look from GameCube collection.
Besides, Resident Evil 4 was on GameCube, so I guess it was, they had Resident Evil 4 and the remake of Resident Evil. So I know they had those two games for sure.
But they had Resident Evil Zero.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Nemesis, Resident Evil 2.
On GameCube?
Mm-hmm. All remake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Remakes, yes.
There's a couple of Mega Man games. There's Mega Man Network Transmission.
Okay. So see right there, they should know. I was going to say, I don't remember many games being from them on there, but there we go. We do got more than a handful, so there is no excuse for them not to listen at the customers. So.
Well, hopefully they do start listening, else they're going to get in real trouble. When they do go, if they do go under, then they've only got themselves to blame at the end of the day. And we as a fans try the best to warn them or tell them what we wanted to say, and if they listen to us, we there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, there's only so much we can do. It's like eating candy. If you eat candy you don't like, you're not going to eat it again. I mean, that's easy. I mean, that's common sense, but we'll see. But like I said, Kiji, he said a lot that I didn't want to hear, you know, because I thought I was the only person that was going through that stuff, where I'd start all these great projects and, okay, Warren, we're going to cancel that. Okay, granted, I got paid for it, but this is something great that, you know, they could use. No, Warren, they don't want to use it. Okay. You're killing all the great ideas, you know. But when he said that, that's when I kind of, you know, I was a little saddened, but that I thought it was only going to reside only in the Mega Man universe, but as you can see, it's crossing all of the universes. So Street Fighter, Mega Man, Breath of Fire, and Resident Evil. So, you know, but I think, like you said, they listen up, then I think everything will be okay. I really do. Because Capcom is a great company. They still have some of the great people there. So, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. So if there's any updates, we'll be sure to report on the podcast at a later date. So, Capcom, if for some weird reason you are listening to this, please do take note.
Dun, 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 dun. Welcome, a new challenger. Okay,
so should we go on to the next topic?
Yep.
What are we talking about next?
Well, actually, it's not a topic, really. It's just a trivia quiz, because remember, a long time ago, we actually did a little trivia quiz where I just found some random questions online and asked them. And we seem to get get most of them right. So I managed to compile 12 questions together.
Okay,
so a little challenge between Gaz and Warren here. So what your aim is to get the highest score, whoever gets the highest wins.
Okay.
Pretty much. So let me just write this write it on a piece of paper. Warren, Gaz, okay, so I'll count the scores up at the end, and there's an opportunity for some bonus points in some of the questions, so...
Go on, fair enough.
Okay, so first one, question one. What is the highest possible score in Pac-Man?
Oh my god.
Okay, and this is multiple choice as well, so you have to...
Well, I know it's... Who's answering this one?
You both say which one it is. So the highest possible scores are 3,333,360.
That one.
I was gonna say B, the second one.
I haven't even said the second one yet. So.
Oh, well, you just said three different numbers.
No. What? I was just saying that.
Okay. I'm like, okay. I know what the flipping score is on Atari's Asteroid. So
that one. Definitely that one. Guarantee it.
Okay. So, correct answer is 3,333,360.
There you go.
So one to Gaz and sorry, one. You answered the wrong one. So.
Yeah, I'm wrong. Yep.
So no points for you there.
Yep.
Never mind, let's see if you can make up the next question. Question two. Which was the first game to feature an Easter egg?
Oh, I know. It was...
Can I just say the answers first?
Just say it. I don't know. No, you go. For me.
It was Adventure on the Atari 2600, and the Easter egg was the developer's name, because Atari didn't credit their names in the game or the credits, and it wasn't it something like something Robin A or something like that? It's just his name.
I believe so, yeah. And Gaz, you got the right answer. I'm presuming one you didn't know that one.
Oh yeah, I did know that. The egg. I didn't know that was the first ever Easter egg though.
That was the first ever one.
I thought a PC game had the first Easter egg.
Okay, so that's another point to Gaz. And is that a point to you, Warren, or?
No, it's not a point for me. Okay. I knew of it, but I didn't know it was the first one.
Okay, well, for bonus points, what year did it come out?
Oh, 1979.
What's your guess, one?
Let's see, Adventure on Atari, I'm going to say 1983.
Gaz was right there, it's 1979.
Oh, wow.
Yep, you're not looking these up, are you, Gaz?
No, he's not. He knows. Is this a no? See, normally it sucks because Adventure and Yars Revenge and Star Raiders are my favorite games. Okay. And I could not tell you what year they're made. I erased that.
That was a guess, by the way. I knew it was early, but it was a guess.
Well, it's looking good for you guys at the moment. You got 3 points, and Warren, you've yet to score.
Don't worry, I'll hit turbo eventually.
Yeah, we've still got enough two questions to go, and the next one should be fairly easy for you both. What was Mario called in the original Donkey Kong?
Oh, that one's easy, yeah. I know.
Do you know one?
My brain just went blank. I cannot believe this.
Should I read out the answers?
Can I answer it? Oh, go on, read it then. I know what it is without the answers.
Yeah, I know what it is when I hear it, but...
Jump Guy... Jumpman, the Carpenter, or Jumper?
Jumpman.
Okay, I'm going to go with Jumper because that's not what I remember.
It's Jumpman.
Correct answer is Jumpman.
All right, zero for me.
Come on, Warren, should be
okay, you're asking questions that I don't have people that talk about these games that much anymore.
Okay. So it's
kinda like, oh, that's good.
Well, the questions are going to get a bit harder now, so hope you're ready.
Go ahead.
Okay, next question. In 1995, how many third-party titles did Nintendo claim were in the works for the Virtual Boy?
I'm going to read through that again because I missed the first part of that.
In 1995,
yeah.
How many third-party titles the Nintendo claim were in the works for the Virtual Boy.
I'm gonna say no, 13.
Well, let me just read up the answers. 50, 75, 100, or 150.
See, that's...
Oh, that's way out of my league. I couldn't even guess. I gave you my number.
See, I reckon it's got to be something quite high, because I think Nintendo thought the Virtual Boy was going to be a hit. So I think it's going to be a high number. So I'm going to say 150. Yeah.
And what's your guess, one?
The number below 150.
100?
Yeah.
Correct answer is 100.
It's a high number. Yeah, it's a high number.
Yeah, it's a high number.
Yeah, I know it's a high number.
So you're thinking on the right tracks, Gaz, but just a little over.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then that stuff was high. Right now, see, I'm going by today's things. So like, wow, it's been a while since I've seen that many, you know, third-party games for a launch console.
But they didn't see that. We never saw the launch. It bombed.
No, it did bomb. I didn't get one. I played with it, but that was more than enough for me.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I played with one at Revival, and
it's good for collections, but as in a gaming system, not really. It has great graphics, but no.
Yeah, apparently I had loads of first-party titles in the works and some prototypes ready to be shipped, but obviously because of the failure of the Virtual Boy, they didn't actually release those games. I couldn't tell you how many of those were made. I guess about 10, 20, something like that, but I haven't actually researched that, so... But anyway, on to the next question. And this one might be a pure street one.
Okay.
In Japan, which system was the Animal Crossing series first released on?
Oh.
It was on GameCube.
Well, let me just read out the answers. Game Boy Advance, GameCube, Super Nintendo, or Nintendo 64. And bear in mind, this is in Japan, so guess carefully.
Oh.
See, I was going to say SNES.
No, Animal Crossing? Animal Crossing was on GameCube.
Ooh, I don't know. See, this Nintendo, I'm not a Nintendo buff at all. I don't know much about. Go on, what's the answer? Oh no.
Okay, so your guess, Gaz, is the SNES, and Warren, yours is the GameCube?
Yes.
Okay.
Japan, it's big in Japan.
Correct answer is Nintendo 64.
Oh. What? No way.
Way.
No way. I'm looking at it up right now. Crossing in Japan. I'm not doubting you.
Yeah, just drink.
Okay. Go ahead to the next one. But there's a bonus question. What was required every time you put the game on?
Say again?
For a bonus point, what was required every time you started the game up?
Password?
Time? Agreement?
Time agreement? So, what do you mean by that one?
The time is so-and-such this time and this time of day.
Well, I think I can give you that one, because it says time and date to be set every time, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Yep,
yeah.
So I'll give you that one, so...
There you go. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So on to question 6. Okay, we're nearly at the halfway stage, so... What was Lara Croft's original name in Tomb Raider? Before it was eventually released, of course, but...
Oh, my.
The answers could be...
Oh, I know it.
Oh, you do?
Hey. Let him guess it, and then say that you can read out.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Read him out, and I'll know it from that.
Yeah, read him out.
Lisa Croft, Laura Cruz... Lauren Croft or Lily Cruz?
I think it's Laura.
I'm going to go with Lily.
I think it's Laura Cruz.
Lily Cruz.
Correct answer is Laura Cruz.
Ah! I did not know that.
Okay, so at the halfway stage, Warren, you have 2 points. And Gaz, you're in the lead with 5. But this could all change, Warren. It could all tip in your favour, so...
You know it, I'm ready.
Yeah, 6 feet back to the questions, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, without spoiling it, there's no Street Fighter questions in particular.
Yes. It's okay. I still got it.
Okay, but this next question might suit Gaz the most, but we'll see.
We'll see.
In the early development stages of Final Fantasy XII, which feature was originally planned for the game but was cancelled?
Turn-based battle, probably.
Well, let me just read out the answers. Go online. In-game decisions, so a bit like The Walking Dead. Shoot 'em up sections, or second player joins.
Ooh. What was the first one again?
Go online.
Go online.
No. No. What were the other ones?
In-game decisions.
Yeah.
Shoot 'em up sections, or second player joins.
Yeah, Matt, two player, maybe.
Correct answer is second player.
Oh, man. I kind of felt it was that, but I was like, nah, let's go to online. Well, see, I never played that, so I stopped at Final Fantasy VII, so.
It was okay. It was a bit,
yeah.
The reason I said turn-based battles, because it was real-time battles.
Right. So,
which I'm thinking they should have just stuck with turn-based battles, because that was a tried and trusted Final Fantasy, but oh well.
Yeah.
Yep,
it would have been interesting. I think it would have made it a lot better if it was two-player. That would have been quite cool, actually.
Yeah, it would have been pretty interesting if you had an option to take over NPC and then you can help out in battles, or particularly tough battles, and who knows, that might be a new feature in the next Final Fantasy 15 game. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Well, Final Fantasy 14 is out on the PS3. I can't remember what it's called now, the tagline to it.
Final Fantasy 14, the good edition. I know you mean, Gaz, but
A Realm Reborn, is it, or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's called A Realm Reborn or something along them lines, off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I wouldn't mind getting a PS3, because it's a PS3 game exclusive, isn't it, or is it? Well, it's PC PS3 game.
Yeah, available. I think it's on PC and PS3.
On Xbox 360, so I'm gonna have to buy it eventually from the Final Fantasy collection. But anyway, carry on.
Okay. Next two questions are movie based, but we'll read out the first one.
Okay. Ooh. Go ahead.
Good on movies, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
David Hayter, the voice of Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid games, wrote the screenplay for which movie? Let me just read out the answers. Dead or Alive, The Dark Knight, X-Men, or Wreck-It Ralph?
I don't know.
I've got a feeling it might be The Dark Knight. Oh, God, is it?
I don't even know The Dark Knight. That's the thing.
That's the second Christopher Nolan Batman movie.
Oh, that's kind of okay. I'm probably gonna go with Dark Knight then.
Yeah.
So you're both going with Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Correct answer is X-Men.
What?
Superhero. No, yeah, I thought it was a superhero film. God damn it.
I thought it was Dark Knight. After you said that, I was like, cause when you say Dark Knight, I'm thinking of a 3D animation. I'm like, I don't know Dark Knight 3D animation, but then you say Batman. Oh, that's right, Batman. And I was like, oh yeah, the voice. Like,
damn.
And I was, yeah. Okay.
So it's a good guess, but not quite right.
Nah.
So on to the second movie-based question. In Wreck-It Ralph, which ghost from Pac-Man was the host of the Bad Anon group of video game bad guys?
Clyde.
The blue one.
It's Clyde. It's the orange one.
Orange one. Well, I'm wrong then.
Which one are you going for? What?
The one I said. I thought it was blue. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my head right now at that scene.
Blue is inky, but it's not. It's orange. It was blue. It was Clyde.
Clyde. Yeah, Clyde is blue.
Okay. Well,
Clyde is
orange.
Clyde is orange.
Inky is blue. Pinky is pink.
Okay. Now I'm getting all confused.
Blinky is red. It's Clyde.
Correct answer is Clyde.
There we go. Okay. I don't know. In my head, I'm sorry. Only thing I say in my head is Zangief and M. Bison. And that's it. I'm sorry.
I'm Zangief. I am bad guy.
Hey, Zangief.
That's all I can see in my head. I cannot see the ghost. I cannot see the ghost at all.
Oh, well, he is blue when he turns, when he does his thing, just turn blue.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think of Pac-Man, I think of the cartoon, so.
Okay, so we're down to our final three questions. One, it might be a chance for you to get some bonus points as well, so.
I'm trying. These are really hard for me.
So, well, that's the whole point. It's supposed to be challenging. The first ones were fairly easy, but these ones are a bit more challenging, but. Next one. Before video game consoles, what was Sony's first product?
For video game consoles.
Yeah, before they made consoles.
Music. Sony Walkman.
So the very first product. So I'll read out the answers.
Betamax.
Well, if you hold on, this is first one. Women's lingerie.
Okay.
Playing cards,
no,
cards and hose, or rice cooker?
Rice.
Nintendo was playing cards, wasn't it?
Yes. Rice cooker.
What was the third one?
Garden hose.
Oh, no, it's not a garden hose. It's Sony didn't make a garden. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with what Warren says there, a rice cooker. Well, it's always been electronics, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, correct answer is rice cooker.
Yay! Oh, but it doesn't matter because he's riding in the same boat.
So. Lingerie. Who is that now?
I don't know.
Mm. It was Nintendo was playing cards.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Guess well then.
Yeah, that's what they are—a toy company, not a video game company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, next one. In GTA San Andreas. Roughly, how many square miles are there?
Oh, my
God.
So, the answers are 11, 13, 15, or 17.
Oh, this is ridiculous. It could be any one of them.
I know, and plus I haven't played those.
Unless you know the answer. It's just a wild guess, and I'm going to go for 13 square miles.
I'm just going to be exaggerant. I'm going to say 17, because I've never played it, but I know it's kind of like Crackdown, but not quite, but I'm going to just say 17.
Okay, and the correct answer is 17.
Yes! Oh. I mean, if we had to guess a number, though, I'm probably going to say at least 50 miles, but 17 sounds kind of realistic.
Yeah, and this is an opportunity for some bonus points, two bonus points. First one, how many times bigger is it from Liberty City?
How many times? What?
Bigger.
What does that mean?
So Liberty City, how many of those would you fit in San Andreas?
Four.
I'm gonna say two.
Four. I'm sticking with four for instinct.
Well, for Liberty City, it's five times bigger.
Oh, close.
Shoot. I was gonna say 2.5, but still wrong.
And the second bonus point: how many times bigger is it than Vice City?
Oh, Vice City.
I want to say.
Which one's Liberty City? Is that GTA 3?
Yeah, GTA 3 and Vice City's the Miami based one.
Oh, I'm going to say four this time.
I'm going to say.
Four. Oh, I don't know.
See, I haven't played those games, so I'm going to say seven.
Correct answer is. Four times, so well done, Gaz. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Surely guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never played those games, so I can't tell you how big. I mean, I played Grand Theft Auto 4 for 3 days, so.
Okay, so on to the very last question, Warren, I don't think you'll be able to beat Gaz at this point, but...
It's okay, I have many extra lives, so...
Let's see if we're up to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beef up your scores a bit. So, last question. Which is the first and only game to feature a Scratch and Sniff CD?
Oh, my.
And this is a bonus question in this afterwards, but here's the answers. Crash Bandicoot, Escape from Monkey Island, FIFA 2001, or UFC Throwdown?
Escape from Monkey Island.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say, Escape from Monkey Island. It just sounds plausible, doesn't it?
Bananas!
Correct answer is FIFA 2001.
What? What kind of sniffy sniff was it? Are we smelling somebody's musk?
Well, here's a bonus question. What did it smell like?
That's what I just asked. What did it smell like? What would you want to smell, Gaz, if you were playing FIFA? Hot dogs?
Yeah, that's like true. I was like a pitch. I was like grass. Or leather, like a football. I don't know.
Hold on, let me think.
Does it smell like someone's sweaty crotch? I don't.
Hey, yeah. I've seen you do that before. We had stickers like that, so it was no big surprise, but I wouldn't even know. Grass or leather or hot dog would be my choice, you know, food or environment. But
okay, so what's your guess, Warren?
I'm
going to have to agree with Gaz, grass.
Yeah, grass.
Okay, correct answer is turf, so I can give you both a point for that.
Yay! What the heck does turf smell like?
Well, I don't know. Well, too.
I need that Scratch and Sniff sticker so I can smell it.
I wonder if there's any of them on eBay. That'd be quite rare, would I thought.
Yes, it will be. I never knew that. And I mean,
format then, was it?
I'm not too sure. Just like, on the site I got this information from. It's just, in general, didn't say block specific version, so I'm guessing it was for either PC or PlayStation.
Scratch and Sniff either. Hang on. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any on What? Are they crazy? Some company named TrendMat has like retro Scratch and Sniffs, and they had, what is that, 12 stickers for $89.
Ooh.
But, and that's my favorite sticker, it's only $4.99. But, I'm looking that up.
FIFA, here we go.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Oh, I see Gran Turismo Scratch and Sniff. Ah, there's another one.
Which one?
Is it Scratch and Sniff on the CD?
I don't know.
Because it's the only one, apparently FIFA 2001 is the only Scratch and Sniff CDs, or so it'd be on the actual CD somewhere, so...
Yeah, I don't see it myself.
Maybe it's like something that's worn off, so who knows. But
yeah. That's crazy, though. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, here are the results of the trivia quiz. And Warren, you have a respectable 5 points.
Yay!
Where Gaz has a very respectable 10 points.
Pow, pow, pow! Congratulations.
So, Gaz, you're the winner.
Thank you.
Yay. Now you have to go out and save Zelda. and Princess Toadstool. And keep in mind, she's always in another castle. So. But those are some good questions, though. That's really, really wow. I did not know that Animal Crossing was on N64 first. I did not know that.
That's exclusive to Japan, so I'm sure if you look it up on eBay, you can find Animal Crossing N64, and it should come up with a few copies.
But it's going to be all in Japanese if I got it anyway. I'm going to say, does it work on an American N64, but it's going to be in Japanese, so it doesn't matter if it works or not, I can't read. Oh.
But that was a good guess from you, Warren, about the time and date setting. Was it?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good guess.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. Confirm.
And that was a good guess from you guys about Vice City being four times smaller than San Andreas.
Well, I knew San Andreas was big, because that was a really big game.
Okay, well, we wish we had a few more quick questions written down here, but hopefully another time we should have some more questions to ask. So that was definitely fun. We definitely need to do this more often. It's very fun.
Oh, yes.
And it's very, very factual as well.
Oh, yes. Brings out some knowledge.
Okay, so, well, before we go on to what we've been watching or what we've been playing, I'll just give a quick update on Charlie's Kickstarter, Game Girls Go, for anyone who wasn't here last week, or wasn't listening last week.
Is the link still on the Facebook page?
I believe so. Let me just check. It should be.
Excuse me.
Scroll down. Yes, yeah, it's a little way down, but it's still there. So I'll have to put it back on, or we've a fresh one.
There you go. Tune in to the podcast.
So
he has some backers, so.
Yeah, currently he has 10 backers. He's got 12 days to go, and currently he's raised $2,445.
Yes, come on, people.
So it's time to move along. So hopefully Charlie gets there. So if he keeps up the rate he is going up 500 a day from now on, he should hopefully reach his targets.
Yep. He's pushing it. You know, he's actually advertising on other sites. So, you know, I put some on my site the day I posted those things on the Facebook group. You know, it's like, let me do it now. If I don't do it now, I'll never do it. Oh, and you know, he got a few hits, so that's awesome. You know, that's great. I hope it does get funded, because it's a great little idea. But I will say, you know, I guess some people are hesitant, because like, yeah, I didn't, you know, I thought it was a game. I didn't know it was a video, and that's why I was kind of glad he came on to, you know, explain that to me. So
So I mean, he's just under $10,000 away from the target. So if he can, well, get at least like 500 a day, more or less, then he's.
That's quite a good average, though,
is it,
people?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's been building up quite a bit. I mean, quite a few people have gone for the $500 pledges.
Well, yeah. One person has backed $1,000.
Yeah.
And another person has backed $1,000 or more. That's quite impressive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great idea, and once it gets funded, you know, it's gonna be a great little product, and hopefully it'll be a small little series, you know. Yeah. And he's bringing it to American shores. I mean, if he did it, I mean, I kind of suggest that he just take the same video, turn his voice down, and say it in Japanese. You know, even though it might be a little cheesy looking, I know he will get more Japanese subscribe, you know, people, you know, but Americans, you know, they got to know about it. They don't know about it, you know. So I try to tell all my friends and so forth. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So the backers are definitely there. So hopefully next time we report back on it, we should have more encouraging signs on him actually getting close to the goal. So once we get there, we'll be sure to let you know or how it gets on next time.
Yep.
And there's also an update that he's got permission to use the games for the show from the gaming company. So that's a bonus as well. So he doesn't have to go after. Copyright protection or any of that malarkey.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. So, well done, Charlie. We hope to talk about it more next time, or at least give another update on how it's going.
Yep.
But anyway, shall we talk about what we've been watching this week?
Yep.
Okay, now, I haven't got around to watching RoboCop yet. I only got a copy of it yesterday. But I've watched a couple of the films in the meantime. Another film that I've actually watched is Scarface.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you didn't expect me to say that one, did you?
Nope, I like WoW.
Yep, so I had a copy of, got a copy of that ages ago, so I decided to sit down and watch that when I had an afternoon off. So, yeah, it's a good movie. Like the character, and like the setting and everything, and sort of the world. And I expected it to be violent, so, and it was quite violent, but I thought it'd be a bit more violent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, back then that was very violent. So
yeah, back in the Is it 70s or early 80s?
80s, I believe, because I think that's based on an event that happened in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Back then, yeah, that was considered ultra-violent. So, yeah, I mean, on today's terms, it's probably a little bit mild, so...
Yeah, I would say it's a bit mild from what I've seen in the past, but what I've seen is pretty... it's pretty good and enjoyable. I mean, the character, obviously, he's corrupt and there's no real change in him, but I know it's nice to see he has, like, some human emotion, especially when a scene later in the movie, which involves, I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it, but, some people who doesn't want to get hurt, and I just, like, shows it that he has got a heart deep down and all this, all these layers of hatred and getting his own way and just doing what it takes to be at the top and staying at the top.
What else have you been watching then?
And also before the podcast, I've watched Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Because I've got a copy of that as well, so I've watched through that. So yeah, it's a good comedy film.
I've seen that before.
I think I've seen bits of it, but I haven't seen the whole fit thing, so it was good to get a copy and sit down and watch the whole way through, and definitely one I'll be revisiting this point. So basically, for anyone who hasn't watched it, basically a weather reporter goes to this little town where they celebrate Groundhog Day, and he ends up being stuck there, and every day is the same. He keeps reliving the same day over and over again, and he's just trying to work out how he can wake up to tomorrow.
Yeah, well, we've got to mention it's not just any weather reporter, it's Bill Murray.
Yep, great actor, great comedian, so can't say enough about that film. If you haven't watched it already, check it out.
Yep.
And so yesterday watched The X Factor. So it's more or less the same, but so far no soppy stories that I've seen. I've still yet to watch the live auditions or the audience auditions where they come back and audition again, which I think is dragging it out mostly, but yes, yeah, it's still pretty fun seeing all the contestants. I think they have got talent, and then they go on and they sing and they can't sing to save their life.
Yeah.
So, yes, yeah, so they're watching that every Saturday. And, well, I've been pretty busy at work, so not a lot of time to do much else, but that's pretty much it, so I'll hand it over to you two.
So, yeah, I know you. I saw a picture of the Blu-rays that you picked up. You got RoboCop, you got Groundhog Day, you got, what did you else did you get? You got Highlander.
Highlander, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I saw Highlander, I watched that yesterday. Oh, it's a great film. And it's another film that you should only watch the first one, Nick. You should never watch the others.
Yeah, because I've seen reviews on how bad they are. They've got the second one, Highlander 2, The Quickening, and then I've seen a review on, like, a crossover between a TV series and the movie characters.
Yeah, it's like RoboCop. Watch the first
and,
one.
And Highlander The Source, I've seen a review of that, and... I can see that they really have buried it in the ground. They could have easily made a sequel or prequel if they put some effort into it, but...
Yeah, they could have done.
Again, I am looking forward to sitting down and watching the first one and enjoying that, because it looks like a classic 80s movie, but again, another movie referenced in Ready Player One.
Yes, it is. I don't know what else I've been watching, to be brutally honest. I've been working a lot. What have I been watching on the telly, baby? I don't know. What have we been watching? Watch the Highlander. I've no idea, I'm afraid. No, I don't really watch much television. So that's me, then, the Highlander.
No. Well, well, moving on to me. I've been still watching Supernatural, and actually, the 4400. I don't know if you ever guys ever heard of that.
Yeah, that's about aired on Netflix, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. My friend called me as soon as he saw. I was like, "Oh, guess what's on Netflix?" Like, what? Like, the 4400. Like, oh, really? Even though it's not finished, it's an awesome show. If you remember Heroes. This was actually before Heroes, so if you like X-Men, like Powers and so forth, it's a great little miniseries.
Yeah, cool. We call it a miniseries. So. I started watching that. For people that don't know about it, it's 4,400 people go disappearing at various times in
time
history, in time in history, don't they? So, and then all of a sudden they all appear at once.
Yep, with no recollection of where they've been, how long they've been gone, or anything.
Yeah, oh. And then each episode follows like a different story of one of the people, doesn't it? Or something along that line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's also two, isn't it? Two like agents who are dealing with them. I can't remember. I haven't seen it for so long.
Yeah, I'm saying I haven't seen it for so long either. I just recapped it because I forgot all about the first episode where the one what's her name came home to her family and their baby has grown up and he's remarried and then he goes, "No, I have a new family." And I was like, "Wow, you couldn't come down there and tell her that." I was so mad all over again. but yeah, it's a great series. I'd say check it out. You know, it's on Netflix. Let me see. I don't think there's anything else that I'm... Oh, well, Fringe also just put up their fifth season that was supposed to be released like, I don't know, like 2 weeks, okay. 2 weeks ago. Yeah, the fifth season on Fringe. So I'm trying to watch that, and I'm going back and forth between that and Supernatural. You know, my friend, he's watching that and Supernatural and some other show. I forget. I was like, nah, I don't want to see anything else. Being Human, I think it is, and Misfits. All those are we like the UK versions. We don't like the American versions because they're, like, totally different and not too interesting. I just watched a movie. I watched Your Dread. I tweeted that to you. I watched that. It was a good movie. I still prefer... what's that? I still prefer Stallone. I just like his costume and his voice. I mean, it was a good, but I did like the prison place or whatever, you know, the big building. I liked that. That was a nice touch. They did a lot of work on that. But it was good. It was good.
It was more true to the comic book.
Right, right. Now I can see how that was. You know, it's kind of and what's her name was in there. I wrote her name on your thing. The wife to what's her name? Kathy.
Lana.
Yeah, from she's from what's that? What's that? The Spartacus, Blood on the Sand. She was what's his name's wife. I'm sorry, not Spartacus. I'm sorry. 300. She was what's his name's wife, and I was like. Because remember, they scarred her up, so I couldn't recognize her, and that's why I'm getting stuck. It's like, oh, that's right. But she did a great job. She's like, she's doing a Charlize Theron, you know. We didn't even know it's her until they showed a picture of her. But it was enjoyable. And, you know, that right there, that spotlight right there kind of made me like, oh, wow, okay. You know, but it was good. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be for a remake at all. But it was kind of scary for him to bring that rookie in. You know, she was a rookie, you know.
But, yeah, which is why I hope they do sequels, because Judge Anderson is in the comics. I don't know if anyone's ever read 2000 AD, which is where Dread originated from. It's a British comic.
Right.
Yeah,
they can do it, but I will say if they did, they'd have to do it kind of like, because I will say this, as I was watching it, I was thinking Crackdown, and I was like, it'd be nice, you know, like when he pulled those guys over at the beginning, that car scene chase, that was great. And I was like saying, yeah, they need to do more of that right there. So, yeah.
There was talk about having Judge Death in the sequel as well. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, we need a rated R rating for that, sure enough, then. So, and I think, I want to say that's it, because I specifically made sure I watched that. But I think there was one other movie I watched, but I can't remember the name of it, and I want to sit here and try to remember. But that's all I'm watching.
So, any games you've been playing recently?
Well, there's one in particular, and that is Power Up. It's just been released on the Xbox Indie Marketplace for 69 pence.
I looked that up, but it's only is it available to American or US? Because I looked for it. I looked it up, and they gave me some other power up avatar thing.
Oh, right, yeah. You need to, if you go on to Xbox and then click on sort them out into release.
Oh, okay.
Go on Xbox.com, sort them out into release. Because when it's power up's quite a popular name. Because right. All it'll do is it's some in relevance. You click on sort out into release, it brings it up straight away. Power up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 69 pence or a dollar. This is a game that was made by, well, I'm doing a review on it for Rumble Media. I've covered it before. Basically, okay. A guy, Mike, he wrote it on his own. He lost his job, and it looked like it was never going to get made. So he went to Kickstarter, was successful in Kickstarter funding, completed the game, and it was just released on Friday or whatever it was, a few days ago. So, yeah.
Okay.
We played that. It's really cool. But, yeah, it's a side-scrolling shooter. But it's, I've been playing a bit of that, which is cool. So, but my review's going to come. But, yeah, from what I've seen, Lana, it's a cool game. Really cool game. Especially for the price, anyway.
Oh, yeah, for the price. I mean, it looks neat. You know, I just need to find it.
It's also on your dashboard as well. It should be on there. On the dashboard on the Xbox. So.
Yeah, I haven't logged in. Yeah, I went to Xbox.com. Well, actually, I think you had a link, and I clicked that. And I was like, oh, wait, that's the UK version. I need to go to the American version. And I went and looked for it, and I was like, I spent like maybe like 10 minutes. And I was like, I'll message you, but by the time it's so late, I was like, we'll talk about it on the podcast. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'll go share it with my friends at Renovations.
Go to the Xbox dashboard, go on to Get Browse Games, and then click to the tab which says Indie. It should be the first one on there anyway. So.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. What else have I been playing? I've downloaded a Mega Drive emulator onto my Sony's PSP. So I've just been downloading a load of games on that, including a few games I've never played before. An arcade game that was, and then it was a Mega Drive game that was only released in Japan and North America, so I didn't get to play that. And a few other games, classic games like some Shiny Falls, Shadow 2, Fantasy Star games. So, keep me busy on the trains at work in the morning. Which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been playing much, I'll just go over what I've been playing. I played a bit more from Dust on the 360. So from that, I'm only playing like every now and then, not like playing it for hours at a time, like for about 5-10 minutes or so. Well, yeah, it's fun like changing the landscape and helping the villagers get across to different parts of the map, and trying to save them from disasters like floods or volcano eruptions.
Sounds like Lemmings.
It is a bit really, but it's more 3D version.
Talking about lemmings, did you see us do something in the newspaper the other day? Some artist in Dundee in Scotland, which is where the company DMA, who made Lemmings, DMA, who later became Rockstar, that's some sculpture. She's sculpted some done like a lemming statue, which is really cool. Let's see if I can find a link to it. Yeah, really cool.
Cool.
If I can find it, I'll send a link. But I noticed it in the paper the other day when I was reading it on the train to work. She's DMA, who did Lemmings before they did the original Grand Theft Auto. They did Lemmings, and some artist in Dundee has pretty much idolised or memorialised Lemmings. I'm trying to find it. Carry on. Go on, Nick.
Okay, so I've been playing a bit more from Dust, and I also played Castlevania Harmony of Despair. I mean, the game's a bit picked up on 360 with only like £2.58, which is about $3-4, something like that. So, well reduced, not enough money on the accounts to download some games. So I downloaded that one as well and played a bit of that. So it's a fun Castlevania game. Problem I have is single play. You can't seem to zoom in, or there might be an option to zoom in, but I haven't figured it out yet. And by the looks of it, the online function isn't quite working. Or either that, or no one's online anymore. So, right. Which is a bit of a shame because I knew that probably wouldn't have downloaded it. But yes, it's a fun little Castlevania game. But I'm sure if you all had a copy, you could join the game. And then the objective is just to travel across the castle to the boss, and then defeat the boss and get upgrades and new weapons and. Just a level up your character like you do in most modern side-scrolling Castlevania games.
Right.
Yep, so it was fun playing that, but if we can figure out how to zoom in, because it's from a distance, so it's difficult for me to concentrate on the character and all, to see all the stuff around the screen as well. So if we could zoom in a bit, work out to zoom in a bit, that would make the game better. And if the online servers are still working for Castlevania Harmony of Despair, then I think it'll be a good game. But that's all. I've only about played maybe half an hour of it or something. Right. But it definitely feels like a lot of 2D Castlevania games, because I played one ages ago on the DS, Dawn of Sorrow, which is a good game. I didn't quite complete that. I got the one of the bad endings, I think, but I need to try and go back to that at some point if I can.
Right.
And the other thing I've been playing, still more Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay.
So building up a town, I'm saving it for a calf. Now right beside the river.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and I've also extended the basement in my house, and start building up a town every now and then, mostly spending the time grinding for money and then just depositing the money so I can get more stuff, and then hopefully get my town up and running to be efficient, or to see how far I can get into it before I do eventually get bored of it. But so far, still having fun with the game. So that's good. And that's pretty much it for me, I think. So what about you, Juan?
Right now, okay, well, of course, I always play a little bit of Street Fighter, but on the 3DS, again, I'm still playing Pushmo, and not as much Animal Crossing. I've been playing it because I just learned from my friend, I accidentally chopped down the wrong trees on my island, so I've been trying to, you know, be up at midnight to go there to catch the bugs and participate, you know, in those bug, I don't know if you participate in the contest when that frog guy shows up and you have the contest and he basically says, okay, if you give it to me, I'm not going to give it back to you whether you win or not. Like, oh.
Yeah, because he obviously eats it, yeah.
Yeah, he eats them, and I'm like, I don't want to give you my best things for a surprise. Some of the surprises are pretty neat, but I will say on the Ouya, they have built-in emulators, and so I've been kind of like going through downloading games that I have, and some games that I used to have that I want to go back and get, and actually I'm enjoying that, and playing some of the games on their on the console itself that, you know, developers have made. I haven't really bought a game yet. I'm looking to see which one I will spend time playing, even though there's like at least three of them. My first one, it might be the Crazy Cat Lady. Because it's a puzzle game, and I'm big on puzzle games because, you know, you never get bored of those. And it's very simple. You know, you push the boxes around to free the cat so the cat can get to the little cat cage. And it's really neat. Granted, there's a video on YouTube where these guys are playing it as friends, and you can tell one guy's a little bit smarter than the other guy, but the other guy wants to leave. Like, no, I don't want to play anymore. We've been playing long enough. And like, come on. And he almost solves a puzzle, but they have to go. But, I want to say there's one other game that I was playing. Well, of course, I'm playing Jurassic Park Builder on an iPad and, you know, Word with Friends. Those don't really count. And what was that? Candy Crush. I play that every now. But that is it. I haven't put anything else in my 3DS at all. And let's see, what else was it? There's one other game. What was it? It was some other game I had on. I played it for a second on PS3, and it wasn't Tumble, but again, you know, it was at random. I think, was it iPad? No, it wasn't iPad. I can't remember. It was some game on PS3. So. And that's it for me.
Yeah, good stuff. So, trying to think if there's any other updates we need to talk about other than the highlights of the week. Any highlights?
I've just started reading as well. The first time is The Hobbit.
Oh yeah, I saw you post on Twitter. So how are you finding it so far, guys?
I've read about one chapter, so yeah, it's okay. But I don't know. We'll see when we get to the end of it, I suppose.
What about you, Owen? What's your highlight of the week?
Well, my highlight, I dropped the price of my book to 99 cents. I don't know if that's a highlight.
Are the set sales going for it?
It is going. I'm going to say that it's going. I need to really kind of push more. I just put Gaz's review, you know, right up in the bottom. And I think I put a link to it. I'm not sure if I put the link there or not. I got to make sure, because I didn't make room for that kind of stuff. I didn't think about that until way after I already had put everything together. I just need to push. I guess, you know, I need to push a little bit more because the way, long story short, is that I use iBook Author to make it. And the thing they don't tell you is when you make your stuff in iBook Author, only people with iPads can see your stuff. So if you have an iPhone, you would never see anybody who's made an iBook. But if I was going to say a highlight, my highlight was going to be Apple announcing the rumor that's on Mac Rumor. Is it Mac Rumor? Apple Rumor? My friend, my artist, he's warned they're going to make an announcement probably because there's rumors about Apple making an update to iBook Author to allow books made with it to also be seen and used on, say, iPod touches, they said iOS 7 devices. So, with that big meaning more coverage. And once I get that, then I know sales should pick up because right now, unless I got on TV and said, hey, here's a book for kids between the ages of 3 to 8, it's great for them, for parents to read them. Unless I did something like that, you know, I don't think I would see any sales until I get a radio ad or something like that. So, but it's moving along. But I can't see, because I've had friends, you know, like Gas said, he got it, and I also had like two other friends who bought it, but I can't see any of those sales. So I need to call Apple to see what's going on. But that's the same thing with Barnes & Noble's and Amazon. I can't see, because my friend bought it from Amazon. I don't see a thing. And Apple, I see just one purchase, and it's supposed to be two purchases, but we'll see. Once I get all this stuff done, I'm writing another book on how to make an ebook and make sure it's, you know, being sold without spending a fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hopefully you do get the update soon, one, and hopefully you can actually download it on my phone, because at the moment I don't have an iPad, so.
Yeah.
So if that does happen, that'll be good for you. And good for people who don't have iPads as well.
Yeah. Well, you can't force them. But like Gas said in his review, who would let their kid hold a $700 device to read a book? And that's one thing I'm kind of, ooh. I know people let people hold their, you know, kids hold their iPhones. I have friends who do that. But iPads, give me that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I mistook a little bit. So I understand that. And I understand that big time. So actually I'm going to call Staples today to see how much it'll cost to have it printed and binded. Because actually, I have the poor man's copyright where you mail it to yourself in America. I still have a book that I did back in college for show and tell where I can have them remodel my book after that, and I just lay it out, and hopefully it wouldn't cost no more than, like, hopefully. That book, I think, costs like $18. I would try to get, like, maybe like 50 and hand them out to teachers in the area. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, pushing it, you know, to get parents to say, hey, try the iPad version or whichever. But I'd rather wait for the announcement for iPhone. So.
All good?
Yep.
Yep. So my heart of the week actually happened at work on Friday. So basically I was asked to cover a class it was involving a games course. But for most of the classes I've ended up in so far just being like, courses to do with IT and employment, so it hasn't been like, directly to do with games up until this one class had to help support on Friday, last class, which actually they were having little tasks to do, like saying it's actually like the games part of the game course for this one group. So what they had to do was to take some pictures of consoles and had to source them out into order from oldest to newest. I did it from all the way from Atari and Grandstand up to the Xbox One, PS4, and Ouya. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. And the tube they had was talking about how great some of these consoles were. I mean, granted, it did get a few of these facts wrong. There was under my breath, I was trying to correct him, but obviously I was trying to contain myself and not go all out and just go on nerdy about it.
Right.
Yep. So that was a fun class to take part in, and also helping students with identifying each console. So they say, oh, which console is that, and they say, oh, that's the so and so console. So that's a fun class to help support. So maybe hopefully I'll be end up in those classes, but I couldn't guarantee that. So because at work at the moment is all muddled up. I'm doing hours here there where they got them until they can sort out an actual timetable for me to work off. But yeah, that's a highlight of the week. And the other highlight would be I went out for a meal today to celebrate my nan's birthday.
Cool.
That was an Indian restaurant, and the food there is great. It's a place called Kebabish. Uh-huh. That's near Sutton Coldfield, if anyone is within the area. And just great food, been many times, so that'd be the other highlight. But those are the main highlights for me this week, I think. So, yeah. So. So, any updates or any other information either you two have?
No, not really.
Or anything else we need to mention?
No, is there? Well, okay, my number 9 reached their goal. I mean, I think everybody knows that.
Oh, yep, from Inafune?
Yeah.
I think $800 away from having the PS3, 360 and Wii U versions released.
Yep.
So not too far now. And we'll just we'll see on that. And also just a quick reminder about Charlie's Kickstarter.
Yeah.
For Game Girls Go. So if you're interested, check it out, or if you want to pass it on, that's fine as well, or just have a look at it anyway, and just see what Charlie has to offer.
Yes.
And hopefully next week we'll talk about how close he is to target, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, then, guys. Well, that was a good episode.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So thanks for being there as always, and to everyone else, thank you for listening. Until next time, we will see you later. Take care and good night.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too. Bye.